All right. How is everyone? I said all right. So all right, all right? Yeah, all right. Well, we are so thankful that you are here joining us today. Calls drop, 'tis the season. So today, we say it each and every week here at the Vine Church, you're only a guest once. After that, we consider you family. I've occupied the crazy spot so you can be free to be whatever you want to be in our family. And so what I want to know from each and every one of us today as we kick off our brand new series, In the Dark Street Shineth, is this. Multicolored or clear Christmas lights? What is this? Multicolored or clear? Which I hear clear.
Clear.
What if clear is multicolored? Anyway, so all to say, what if it all the way through, as we are a family, I'm so thankful as we talk about lights, we talk about Christmas, I'm so thankful to kick off this series because I believe many of us feel like we're in a dark street in 2020, don't we? Like, I love that opening video. I love, like, everything about this series because I feel like many of us have been in this place and are in this season where we are searching for a light in the midst of the darkness. And there couldn't be a better parallel to what Christmas is all about. Because Christmas is about the light coming, the light of the world, Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth, bringing us the hope that only he can bring, living the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, dying the death we deserve, paying for our sin on the cross, loving us enough not to stay dead, rose again on the third day so that we could have life. I could pack it up and go home now and he would get all the glory. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to keep diving in his word today because I believe that each and every one of us, as we are in these dark streets looking for a light, that Jesus is going to place people in our path that are looking for the light that only he can give. So if you've got your Bible today, I'm going to keep going until my voice gives out. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, unsurprisingly, come Christmas time. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today. If you don't have your Bible, we have them free for the asking. We would love to give you one. Our Vine production team's incredible. Wherever you're watching around the world today, they're going to make sure that you can follow along with us. But also, it's our privilege to partner with the Bible app every week, and I will show you here in just a second how you can follow along with us on the Bible app. So if you want to go ahead and open up the Bible app today, you can follow along with us. So you want to download it from your favorite app store. Once you do that, you're going to open it up, as you see conveniently here. Then you're going to click on the More tab. Once you click on More, click on Events. Make sure your location services are on. And when you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV Worship Experience, the title of today's message, which is In the Dark Street Shineth. And we are going to dive into the Gospel of Luke today. You're going to see all of the note, place where you can take notes, a place where if there's any way we can serve you, we would love to reach out with you throughout the week, but also a place where you can connect with us throughout the week. And so we actually do a Bible reading plan on the Bible app too. If you want to friend the Vine Church, you can see us on there. So it's a privilege for us to dive into the Word of God and be on the Bible app together. So if you've got your Bible today, I'm going to go until my voice gives out, and we're going to cover 25 verses. Why are y'all looking at me that? We'll be done by 3:30, okay? It's going to be all right. We're going to go through 25 verses today in the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 1, and verse 1 is where we're going to start, verse 1 through 4, and we're going to be talking about In the Dark Street Shineth. So here we go. Luke starts out the gospel this way. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. So as we talk about In the Dark Street Shining, I love that Luke comes out of the gate this way. He's saying, hey, listen, I'm taking a collection of all of these people, of everything that you have heard, and I want you to know that it is the truth that you are searching for. It is historically accurate. Now, he's going to walk through, and what's crazy about this is Luke is saying it's the truth. It's not what you may think of hearing. It's not a legend. It's not a fairy tale. But what I'm talking to you about is absolute truth because it is the gospel. It is the word of God, the truth. It is about Jesus. What's crazy here that I love as Luke starts out that way and says, hey, it's going to be fact-based, historically accurate, everything that I'm writing in this account actually happened. Then he talks about angels, a barren woman having a child, a virgin birth. He talks about miracles that are happening all the way through the gospel. So he starts out this way saying, listen, when you are following Christ, there's something that transcends the legends and the myths of old. And so when I read this, how many of us have ever heard of this guy called C.S. Lewis? Many of us, right? We've heard of C.S. Lewis, right? Many of us. Chronicles of Narnia, maybe. That's where you are if you've heard of C.S. Lewis. Or maybe Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. Anybody heard of that guy? Right? We've heard of these things. These are books that maybe many of us have read. These are stories that many of us have watched on TV. Maybe it's not a book we've read, let's be real. But some of us have watched it on TV. Well, C.S. Lewis goes to the Gospel of Luke. Before he was a Christian, he was an atheist. And he struggled with what Luke is saying right here when he was struggling with Christianity because he thought that to become a Christian, he would have to deny all the legends and myths of old. All of the things that stirred his affections, all of those great things inside of him that moved him, he thought that to follow Christ, I would have to deny that. And if that's the case, then Christ is no fun. I don't want to have anything to do with Christ. I don't care what's happening there, because if I've got to deny these myths and legends that stir my affection, then there's no way that I can follow Jesus. Well, he meets up with J.R.R. Tolkien, and Tolkien looks at him, and they go talk and walk in a garden. And when they're talking together, Tolkien says, see, here's the thing you're missing, C.S. Lewis. And I believe whoever's listening right now, maybe you're missing this right now when it comes to following Jesus. He said, the thing is, all of those legends and myths are like pagan Old Testaments pointing to Jesus that is to come, and that's what this season is. See, right now, that's where we are in this Christmas season. It doesn't matter what you read. Everyone is in eager anticipation of Christmas Day. The Christmas tree is up. The gifts are under the tree. Everything's hustling and bustling out there. Even in the midst of this COVID season, people are out shopping. You can see Amazon coming down the driveway all the way through. Like, things are happening. Shameless plug. Please don't kick me off online because I said that. But everywhere else, like, you can see things happening, and there's something that stirs our affections this time of year. And Tolkien was told C.S. Lewis, that thing that's stirring your affection is your yearning for Christ Jesus. And it's not that you have to deny those things in order to follow Christ. It's that when you follow Christ, you realize that it transcends those things and those affections are stirred by something more. And so that's what Luke is saying right here, is he wants you to say, hey, your harbor in the night, your light in this dark street, if you're in a dark season, the light that you are searching for is Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the perfect marriage of heaven and earth, where your affections are stirred just like Christmas morning, an eager anticipation to be exactly what you created to be, the hope that only Christmas can bring, the hope that only Christ can bring fully fulfilled. That is what following Jesus is all about. And so Luke starts off his gospel out of the gate, hot and heavy, says, hey, what happened is historically true, but it's going to sound like one of these old legends and myths that you've read. And so he goes on to say it this way in verse 5 through 7. He dives straight into the history. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. He goes straight into history. Luke is saying, hey, here's the historical context of what's happening. This is the time frame this is happening. This is where it is happening. The thing that Christianity has that other religions don't is the historical context. Other religions point to mindfulness, spirituality, enlightenment, but Christianity is so tied into history that you can't deny that it exists. You can't deny what's going on with it, because to deny that would make Christianity crumble. And so that is why Luke is saying, look, God is the God of the universe, the creator of the universe from the beginning, where all things were made, so much so that we can even point to see him throughout history. So historically, he's saying it this way. He's saying Herod, king of Judea. Now, let me tell you about Herod. Herod was not a good guy. We just talked about Lord of the Rings. I mean, Saren, like, he's not good a guy. He's not a good guy. Herod is so bad, believe it or not, he went and built a pool at his house because he killed his enemies so much so that the press wouldn't be that he killed them. It would be that they didn't know how to swim. They didn't know how to swim when they came to his Christmas parties. He just made sure they didn't swim, in other words. Herod was a bad guy. Herod, believe it or not, is from Esau's descendants. He's an Edomite. So what that means is, you remember Jacob and Esau? You know, Jacob becomes Israel, has the 12 tribes of Israel, and Esau, his brother, gives his birth right away. It's no coincidence that Herod, the king of Judea, is searching out the restoration of Israel and the world, who is a descendant of Jacob, is Christ Jesus. Can you see this beautiful story that God is writing here? Like, it's no coincidence that the Edomites, who are always after the Israelites, trying to kill them, that King Herod is an Edomite trying to kill King Jesus. And so Luke is saying here from the beginning, when this happens, he's saying it's King Herod versus King Jesus. And this is what I'm getting at when it comes to our dark streets that we're in. How many of us are searching for a good king to restore his kingdom in this time? Isn't that how all the stories go? The bad king takes over. Oh, please turn off the news if you're watching it right now. The bad king takes over. Oh, bad. Every side says they're bad. The bad king takes over, and we're looking for the good king, the rightful king, to restore the kingdom, because when the kingdom is restored, then all is in order. Creation has been asking, will a good king come, since Genesis 3 and the fall of man? And this time of year, we get to celebrate the good king coming in the dark streets and lighting it for the entire world to have the hope that only Christ can bring. And so, as Luke is writing this story, he's saying it's King Herod versus King Jesus, and I want you to know that historically, this is how it goes about. So he talks about this guy named Zechariah and Elizabeth. Verse 6 says, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So you would think they got the best Christmas gifts, right? Like, they were perfect. They were great. They were righteous in the sight of the Lord. They obeyed his commands. They were found righteous and were blameless according to the Lord's commands and decrees. But look at verse 7. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So Luke says, historically, I want you to know this is what's happening. But I also want you to know that this prosperity gospel madness that's out there, by the way, I have a handkerchief I'd love to sell you, $39.95 a month. It's got my sweat on it. I'm just kidding. You know I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. He puts it out in one foul swoop. Because prosperity gospel says if you're righteous in the sight of the Lord, you obey all of his demands and decrees, you can't be in dark streets, because you can only be in light, you can only experience blessing, you can only have the favor of God, that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. But Luke says, look, from the beginning, as this gospel goes in this account of Jesus coming to earth, the light coming to earth, there are people who are righteous and blameless in the sight of the Lord that are in the middle of a dark street. And so what I want you to know today is maybe that's where you are. And I can see that if that is where you are, that Zechariah and Elizabeth was there, Jesus has been there. I want you to know, wherever you are when that looks like for us, I want you to see that because you're in the darkness, because you're barren, Elizabeth was barren, she couldn't have children, because you're barren, it doesn't mean God's punishing you. I think as Christians, that's what we struggle with. I think people who aren't Christians struggle with that. We think we're in the midst of the darkness because we've done something wrong. I'm not saying that God doesn't do that at times, but I'm saying in the dark street we're in 2020, I don't think any of us this year said, you know, this is what 2020 is going to look like. I'm going to have all of these things line up to happen. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to continue to be barren. I'm going to continue to be childless. I'm going to continue to be righteous and blameless in the Lord and be obedient to him, but I'm not going to have any ounce of fulfillment. I don't think any of us would want that. But yet, if we're completely honest, some of us probably feel that way in 2020, don't we? Zechariah and Elizabeth were there. You see, they were there 100%. And so many times what would happen is, I want you to know, if you're in the dark street, don't ask where God is, because he's right there with you. He's never left you. So many times the world would say, where was God in 2020? Where was God at 9/11? Where was God when this tragedy, and the earthquake, and the tsunami, and all these things? They would ask, where is God? And Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth understood as God was right there with them, so much so they said, hey, we're going to continue in his commands. We're going to continue in his decrees. We're going to continue to be obedient to what he's called us to, because even in the midst of darkness and barrenness, I trust him more than I trust myself. I wonder if in this season where we are, if we would understand that, because I know some of us right now, I'm just going to put it all out there. Some of us right now are in the midst of a dark street and are in the midst of a death of a loved one, the loss of a job, your marriage is a wreck, your kid's a prodigal who hasn't come home, your career feels like it's in shambles. As a matter of fact, your life probably feels like it is barren and in darkness, but I don't want you to give up hope, because you are not alone in it. Jesus is there with you. And I want you to see all the way through when we look at this, that even Jesus, when he started his ministry, do you remember what he did after he was baptized, before he started his ministry? Go to the Gospel of Mark, you can read it. He goes out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He goes into the darkness. He goes into the barrenness. Because that was God's will. What if God's will in 2020 was for you to go through the barrenness and the darkness so that you could experience fully what he was preparing you for 2021? Wonder if we would trust that. I wonder how much eager anticipation we would have in this year. I wonder how much different we would look in this world this year if we lived that way. Because see, the thing is, for all of us, before we keep going on, as we keep going on, I know I'm belaboring a point, but the reason is so important. I think so many of us know that we want the resurrection, don't we? We all want life. We all want the resurrection. The problem we struggle with is the only way for us to experience the resurrection is to go through the brokenness of the cross and go through the darkness of the cross. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, the land went dark. There was an earthquake that happened. We've got to go through the brokenness and the darkness of the cross in order to experience the fullness of the resurrection. And that's what the world sees. The world wants to be so righteous that it's so good that it can just live because of its goodness. And it's just not possible, because for all of us, none of us are good enough to have the resurrection on our own. We have to go through something in order to experience it. And this year in 2020, many of us are in the experience of the dark street so that we could experience the fullness of the light to be exactly who he created us to be. And so for each and every one of us, that's what I want you to see, that Luke is just starting out the Christmas story 100% in this gospel. He's saying, hey, what's happened historically here is true, but I want you to know, in the midst of overwhelming sadness, barrenness, and darkness, as a matter of fact, Elizabeth and Zechariah, where they are, it is shameful not to be able to have children. When you didn't have children in their time, what they believed was, if you didn't have children, it was because of your sin, your spouse's sin, or your parents' sin. Yet we know they had no sin. They were righteous in the eyes of the Lord. They kept his decrees. So what if Jesus has brought us and ushered us through 2020, as it's getting ready to wrap in a close in this dark street? What if he has brought us through this to say, hey, that thing you've been praying for, it's about to happen. That thing that you've given up on, that I haven't given up on you on, it's about to come knocking at your door. I wonder if we would operate with hope 100%, and see that through Christ we can experience that fullness of life. Let's go on to verse 8, hanging in here with me, verse 8. And it says this: once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as the priest before God, he was chosen by lot. I love how Luke puts that in there. Let's be real. Was he really chosen by lot? He was chosen by God. Let's be real. But he was chosen by lot. Don't go back to Abraham and Lot. We'll go there. According to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers, if you got your Bible, highlight this, circle this, whatever you got to do. What were all the worshipers doing? Praying outside. If you want to see something shining in the dark street right now, I wonder how important prayer is for you. I wonder how important it is. I know I've struggled with prayer. As a matter of fact, you may be new to Christianity and you struggle with prayer because you're like, I'm praying, but I don't know what's going on. I'm praying and I don't know what's happening. And so for this, as we're going and we're praying, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you don't know why you're praying and you're struggling and you can't figure it out. Well, there's a book written by Tim Keller I would highly recommend you checking out, and it's called Prayer. It's on prayer. And what he does is on prayer, as he's going through that, when he talks through prayer, he says the reason that many of us struggle with prayer is because we are in one of two viewpoints. Okay? The first viewpoint that we take to prayer is this idea called Christian mysticism. Oh, it sounds so legend, doesn't it? Christian mysticism. Christian mysticism, okay? Now, that viewpoint, honestly, is the one I fall in. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, the best thing, I'm going to go ahead and put it in the cards, is the merging of the two. Christian mysticism, this is what it says. Prayer is an ends of itself. It is a mode and a means by which you get to know God and His character more. These are the people that can go out in nature and hear from God. Now, how many of those are in the house? Like, you can go outside and hear from God. Like, that's just one of those. I'm one of those people. I'm weird. I know. I told you, I'm the crazy one in the family. I'm fine with that. Like, I can go outside and hear from the Lord. Maybe that's your sacred pathway. He says this. Tim Keller says it this way. He says, if it's not Christian mysticism, the other viewpoint you have on prayer is called a kingdom mindset. Now, I know many of us can be in a kingdom mindset, but a kingdom mindset isn't about knowing the character of God and reflecting on self and understanding who God is more. It instead is about learning about God's will for your life, walking in obedience to it, and building His kingdom, okay? So we've got the people that can go along in solitude. Jesus did it. He went in solitude and prayed. So can go along in solitude and can hear from God and know His character and know Him more. Or in the darkness, you can go out and understand that God is trying to build His kingdom. He is going to work through you. All you have to do is be obedient and work His will, Zechariah and Elizabeth in this case. Work His will and see His will be done, and you will see His kingdom be built. For each and every one of us in the dark streets, maybe we're struggling right now because our viewpoint on our prayer is wrong. See, I would say it's a merging of the two. That's what I've been learning. Tim Keller would say, you just have to find which one you fit into. But I can tell you, even though I can be in nature and learn about God's character, there's just something about praying about His church. There's something about praying about Him building His church. There's something about saying, God, what would you have me do in the midst of this overwhelming darkness? What would you have me do in the midst of this barren season? There's something about that that completely changes my perspective and outlook. This is important, and Luke is writing this because something completely crazy is about to happen to Zechariah and Elizabeth that is going to completely change their outlook on prayer. I can imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth. I just want to be real with you. They're not like 40, all right? You know, like they're not 40s or 50s. They're probably kind of Abraham, Sarah's age in years. And so the idea of having children, I mean, we're from the deep south, and I'm not making a political statement, but Strom Thurmond was a senator forever and had kids a long time in his old age. We know that, right? Like he had babies a long time in his old age. Elizabeth and Zechariah are in their old age, we're about to find out. And so this thing they've been praying for a long time to have children is kind of like, that ship has kind of passed. Like, it's something it's moved on. Like, it's just one of those things. We get it. We you know, there's not going to be an extra stocking this year at the Christmas tree. Like, there's just not. We get it. Like, there's not going to be a little bundle of joy. And so we're going to see how prayer is working through that here. In verse 11 and 12, and it says this, after all the people are assembled together praying, verse 11 and 12, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now remember, Zechariah is there doing what he's supposed to do, his priestly duty. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. When's the last time you've been in awe of God? Serious question. He hit me with that this morning. May we never be the people that are so built in our daily routines that we miss out the awe-inspiring wonder of what the gift of today is. May we never. His people, God's people, chosen by him, chosen by a lot, as Zechariah is, standing in his very presence at the altar of incense. What Zechariah had to do was have a sacrifice in order to experience the presence of God. Jesus came as our sacrifice, and we can enter into his presence anytime. And I wonder if through that prayer, if through the word of God, when is the last time that we were a people that stood in awe of him? So much so, the world says, I don't know what light they have that's captivated them, but even in my darkness, I can see it. That's what we're called to be, church. That's what we're made to be, and this season reflects it, because the thing that we see all night long is what? Light. Light is everywhere. Goes on to say it this way in verse 13 through 17, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Look at this. Your prayer has been heard. Remember that viewpoint. What are you praying for that you feel like God doesn't hear? What have you been praying for? Man, I could tell you there's probably a laundry list for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll put it out there. But what are you praying for? Because I love what's happening right here is when the angel of the Lord came, knocked on Zechariah's door, God rang the doorbell and said, yes, even though I'm omnipresent, even though I'm omniscient, even though I'm all-knowing, and even though my will be accomplished, I want you to know, Zechariah, I have heard you. And your prayer will be answered. When we've ever had that in our life, we can't help but stand in awe of him. And it's not just the Christmas season. Everyone in this Christmas season right now are wanting to experience that. They're wanting the angels in the outfield, right? Like, let the angels win the pennant, God. Like, they're wanting so many of these things. Let it be the new car, the new house, the thing under the new relationships, the new job, the new thing under the tree. That's where their hope is. But for us, we have a God that loves us enough that said, I'm sending my one and only son, because your cry for a good king to restore the kingdom from the very foundation and creation of the earth, I have heard your prayer. Man, oh man, if we were people that could live that way, what difference could this world see? How much greater would 2020 be? We would say, man, that was the year that it all changed. That's the opportunity we get, church. He goes on to say this, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Now, I'm sure in this moment, now Zechariah is just thinking about something. He's lining some things up. You're going to see him do that here in a minute. And he says this, the angel says this in verse 14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. You know what? I wonder if this time of year, what is your favorite? If you have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godchildren, pets, I don't know, whatever it is. What is it that you look forward to this year when they open that gift? They're what? Joy and delight. Joy and delight. If you know anything about me, I'm bad about opening gifts because I'm afraid sometimes my joy and delight doesn't show. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm like, people put so much work into these gifts. I want them to know that I love them. And so I experience them. And so I open them over time and have joy and delight and try to savor them that way. But I want you to know that wherever you are, if you can hear me or see me, that you are God's joy and delight. So much so, he would give everything for you. He would rather die than to not be in a relationship with you. And the same is true for me. How is Zechariah and Elizabeth thinking? Like, they're like, man, I've got like some Asper cream or something I got to put on, but I'm going to get some kids. I'm having a son. His name's going to be John, and he's going to be my joy and delight. Parents, I have not experienced this in life, but that 3 a.m. cry doesn't always feel like a joy and delight, does it? Like, it doesn't right now. It doesn't always feel that way, but as that child grows to become the blessing that God gave you to steward, how much more are they your joy and delight? I want you to know that thing you've been praying for. I want you to know the thing, the dark street you're in 2020. God is working out for his glory and your good. because you and I are his joy and delight. He says that John will be filled with the Spirit. We talked about this on a Thursday night not too long ago, I remember. Seems like not too long ago. This year's flown by, I know. We can all have the Holy Spirit in us. But when's the last time you got filled with it? John came out filled with it. In other words, it was his guide. It was his fuel. It was the thing that helped him point toward Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say this in verse 16. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Israel, God's people, he will bring back to God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. You know your boy loves some Elijah. To turn the hearts of parents to their children. How important is that? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness. To make ready a people, what the Christmas season is about, prepared for the Lord. This is huge. You want to know the breakdown of society? Is the breakdown of the family. When the parents' hearts are not toward their children is when the society crumbles. And Satan has been after that since Genesis 3. And John came to point back the family of God, Israel, back to God. And John came and what he talked about, without getting too crazy and talking all day, I could talk about JTB all day, John the Baptist all day. Love some JTB. Just saying. Somebody thought I said Justin Bieber or something. I don't know. But anyway, JTB, like John the Baptist, as we're talking about him, he came and he preached repentance was the way to be in relationship with God because Israel was in proximity to God and they only knew religion. And he said, if you want to come to be and turn a heart back to God, you got to walk through repentance. For us, repentance happens as we walk through the cross to experience the resurrection. John came to point the people to God, and when he did that, parents turned their hearts toward their children. One of the first things most parents do after they have a baby is step back into the church, and I'm so thankful for that because their hearts are inclined to their children, and I love that. I would love that before the parents even had the child, we would love parents so much that their heart would be so inclined to their children that they would be here while they're pregnant, they would be here while they're getting ready to have that sweet baby. That's what John came, and that's what Jesus came to help us do. So in the midst of this dark season, I want you to know that through repentance, we can experience that. I wonder if 2020 is God is just saying, return to me. Return to me. Think of everything you ended with in 2019. How many of those things are getting ripped away or have been ripped away? How many of those things have changed in 2020? Man, tons. Right? It's because God's saying, hey, you're in the midst of this darkness. Let me show you the one true light. Not the fake light, the real light. Let me show it to you. Turn to me. Turn to me. Verse 18. If I'm completely honest, if I was Zechariah, this is where I would have been. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Husbands, listen how he says it. He knows how to do it right. I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. He knows how to phrase it right. You want to make that right? He didn't say it. He wasn't going for it. He just said, I'm old. Now, she's well in her years. Like, she's just well in her years. In other words, in his best Ron Burgundy, Zechariah looked at the angel and said, I don't believe you. Like, he just straight up said, like, how can this be? I don't believe you. Like, I've been praying for this for 40 years, and all of a sudden, I'm an old man. Have you heard my knees creak? Like, have you seen what I'm doing? Like, my back just hurts standing here. Like, how am I going to hold a baby? Like, how in the world is this going to happen? I don't even know how to change a diaper. What is a diaper? Like, what's going on? Like, what do you do? Baby wipes? Is that a big deal? Oh, my goodness, it is. Like, what in the world is this? What do you mean? He's saying, I don't believe you. And I think that many of us right now are in 2020 and saying, maybe God wants something more for me. And we're looking at God, and he sent an angel right in our face, and we're saying, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. We're so dug in our feelings and so dug in, we say skeptically that if all of my rational questions aren't answered, if all my logical questions aren't answered, then there's no way I can believe. That's why Luke starts off saying, this is going to be historically accurate. It's going to sound like a legend of old, but to the skeptic there, I want you to see that you can't be dug in this way. Because the thing is, many of us ruled and governed by our emotion. Dale Carnegie, great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. My nerdiness is so coming out today. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie talks about us being an emotional beings. We're emotional. If you're in hospitality or customer service, you always deal with the angry person more than the happy person because there's an emotional person in front of you. It's not the data. It's not that 99% of the time we have great customer satisfaction. You're going to get the 1% of the bad time because you're dealing with something that's emotional in front of you. Man, doesn't 2020 feel that way? All the data is tied up in all the emotions. And so as a skeptic goes in 2020 believing that God is really in 2020, what I want you to see is if you're a skeptic right now, you are governed by your emotion. And maybe it's not that your questions aren't answered by Jesus. Maybe it's you've decided a predetermined lifestyle that you want to live, and instead of rejecting the truth of Jesus, you'd rather suppress it because you're more comfortable in your misery. Because your misery brings you more joy than actually being set free from the thing that's holding you back. Maybe that's where your skepticism is, and that's where Zechariah is, because he's probably thinking, just like I would be here. I'm not going to lie to you, skeptically, I would be there. God, I'm like 85. Like, how am I going to do this? Like, he's thinking of a lot of things. Sunday afternoon nap looks a lot of different. Like, something's going on, y'all. Like, something, I can't do this. Skeptically, I wonder if in 2020 we're skeptically there. I wonder if we would just let our guard down to trust that God's working there. Let's go on to see what Gabriel says. Gabriel, the PR guy of God. I love this. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. I love this. And now you will be silent. He's like, Zechariah, every time you talk, it gets worse. You probably want to do that to me sometimes. I understand. But he says, every time you open your mouth, Zechariah, it gets worse. So silent, silence. The PR God of God, like the press secretary, he goes out. He makes this grand announcement to Zechariah. And Zechariah is like, I don't believe you. And the angel of the Lord says, shut it. Like, he just straight up says, shut it. Ready to go. He tells him that he's going to keep him silent. And you will not be able to speak until this day happens. Why? Because you did not believe my words. Favorite part of this, which will come true at their appointed time. I can't tell you so much, so I've shared so much of me, and I thank you guys for hanging in my stream of consciousness here these past few weeks as I'm trying to hang in here and walking through a season of grief myself, honestly, with my mother and everything going on. And I know I'm not the only one in this season that's walking through this. But what God has pressed on me more than anything in this season, and you've heard me say multiple times, is this. At their appointed time, his will be done. The one thing that will be accomplished is God's will. God's will. When? At his appointed time. Not when Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted it 40 years ago. That means the 80-year-old new daddy with a brand new bundle of joy is going to have a son named John the Baptist. Yes, at God's appointed time. 2020, God is preparing you for what he's about to do at his appointed time. His appointed time might be 2025. It might be 2021. It might be 2030. It might be 2050, and you're going to have a great big bundle of joy. Praise God, whoever's here that's figuring that out right now. Like, who's ever on the downside of the hill as we're figuring out life? Like, it might be that, but at God's appointed time, his will be accomplished, even in the midst of the darkness. And so, verse 21, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. They're like, where is this dude? What is going on? He's still in there praying? My goodness. I knew I sinned a lot and I had to sacrifice a lot, but he's still in there. He's still in there. So all of a sudden, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. I wonder if in this season that we're in, we would continue to faithfully complete the service that God has for us in 2020. There are a few more weeks left in this year. There are a few more weeks. Like many of us, how many of us literally, I'm just going to be real with you. When anybody says they have 2020 vision, you just want to throat punch them. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you right now. Like, I'm just going to be real. Like, flipping table Jesus is what I'm about. Like, when I talk about 2020. But I also have to know that God's going to work his will out at his appointed time throughout even this darkness that is this season. I wonder if all the way through we could see and live out what Zechariah did, because he could have been so overjoyed that he was having a son, or so frustrated because he couldn't speak that he went straight home. But instead, he continued to be righteous and blameless and complete the work that God had out in front of him before God accomplished his will. Okay? So he goes on to do that. Verse 24 and 25. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, something happened. I'll do it this way. Something happened to be pregnant. In silence, I'm just saying, husbands, take note. Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut your mouth. I'm just going to say it. It is what it is. But sometimes, just be silent. Things will work out. Trust. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown me his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. See, what's crazy is in Hebrew, Zechariah means the Lord has remembered. You can be in the midst of a dark season and barrenness and brokenness and still be called the Lord has remembered. See, Elizabeth in Hebrew means God is an oath. So the Lord has remembered and God has an oath, has a son that points to God remembering us and fulfilling his covenant, his oath to restore us to a rightful relationship with him. But the thing that Elizabeth had to go through was extreme shame and guilt. She had to wait 5 months in seclusion. And why? Because I'm sure she was scared she still couldn't have that baby. Imagine you've waited your whole life for that. And I know right now many of us are in the midst of that. Many of us listening are in loss, but many of us listening right now, 2020 has just been an abusive year. Mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, it's been an abusive year. It may even feel like it's a seclusive year, doesn't it? Like, it may even feel like it's a seclusive year, but I want you to see this seclusion was important because it reminded Elizabeth of her oath, but I love how 25 ends. God has shown his favor, and he has taken away my disgrace among his people, among the people. The beauty of the cross of Christ in the midst of these dark streets, the light that is the gospel, is some of us today are sitting in Elizabeth's position. There's something in our life that we're shameful about, something in our life that we are disgraced, overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, some of us right now in Elizabeth's position are so overwhelmed that we feel awful about our life. And I want to tell you right now, if that's you, there is hope. It's found in Jesus. And today I want you to know that Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He died for the sin committed against you. And some of us right now that have been through abuse understand that it's not the abuser that I should be mad at, it's the sin. And what I'm saying is it doesn't mean stay in abuse, it does mean that you can be set free from it. And Elizabeth is set free from the shame and guilt of the barrenness and the brokenness that she was in because God remembered his oath and worked through that. And so if you're in Elizabeth's position today, I just want to remind you that the gospel says, I will wipe you clean. I will give you a clean slate, and that through Christ Jesus, you are made new. The old things have passed away. And today, maybe you need to step out of the darkest street and the darkness and into the real light and stop feeling awful about your life and instead have experienced the joy and delight that Jesus died to give you. If that's you today, you need to lay it at the feet of Jesus and let him take it away. others of us today, wherever you are, is maybe you're in Zachariah's position. Maybe you know Jesus and you're in Zachariah's position. You're sitting here and you said, I've been praying for something that's so long it isn't even funny. I've been praying for that winning lotto ticket for so long. Bless your heart if that's you. But I've been praying for something for so long, and I just don't think that Jesus hears me anymore. I just don't think that he's going to fulfill it. My question is, how's your prayer life? Are you continuing to walk obediently with him? And even if an angel came and rang your doorbell and God said, I heard you, would you be willing to accept it? Or would you continue to be the skeptic? Because the thing is, Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He died for your skepticism. He died for yours and my doubt. He died for our life to be full of joy and delight. Not human joy, eternal joy, because we are his delight. And so the question is, will we be, if we are in Christ Jesus, like Zachariah and Elizabeth, and say, even in the barrenness and the brokenness, I don't understand it, but I still trust him. Others of us are like Zachariah, and we're the skeptic in the room. Oh, we're the skeptic. This Jesus thing can't be real. We're just like C.S. Lewis. This Jesus thing can't be real. There's no way that I could experience true freedom. There's no way that I can experience healing from my brokenness. There's no way that all of a sudden these dead things can be brought back to life in Christ. There's no way, like, there is no way, because God would not allow something like that to happen to someone he loves. And I would say he loves you enough that he would let his son be murdered on a cross, hung naked. Shame, carrying our shame, our guilt, everything. As a matter of fact, in Jewish law, cursed is the one who is hung on a tree. Would take the curse of our sin upon us because he loves us so much that he would rather die than to not be with us. And I want you to know today, if you're the skeptic, I just want to say, would you just consider, would you just let your guard down for just for a moment and look inside yourself and see that maybe, just maybe, Jesus is who he says he is. Maybe, just maybe, the hope that you've had and the thing that you've prayed for, the angels winning the pennant, the thing under the Christmas tree, these things of this world that have just faded away in 2020. What if God is just saying, turn to me? Would you just for a moment consider him? Because I'm telling you, if you will ask him your question, you'll be surprised at how he answers. Because he will. And so if that's you today, I want you to see that if you want to experience the freedom that can only come through Christ, repentance, confession is repentance, is what your next step is. And we're about to pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time, not because of the words of this prayer that will save you, but because Jesus is who he says he is. If that's you today, and you're the skeptic, and you're ready to finally step out of the darkness into the real light that is Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and repeat this prayer after me as a family. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, for my sin on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if that's for you and you can say for the first time that your skepticism is over, that you have in faith given your life to Christ, I'm going to count to three and ask that you raise your hand. One, two, three. Would you have the courage to raise your hand? If you're watching online right now, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Would you click on that? Maybe you're watching online or listening in the house right now. Maybe it's not salvation that was your next step, but it is to step into the light of freedom that Jesus died to give you. Maybe you're in Elizabeth's position, and you just have this thing you can't let go of, and you just need to lay it down to Christ and lay it at his feet today. And if that's you today, you're going to see that hand raised. If you'll click on that, if you're watching online, shoot us an email at prayer@thevine.tv or text at 864-580-6698. We would love to pray with you so that you can experience the real freedom in these dark streets, the real freedom of this season. And for the rest of us, I'm going to pray. And we're going to continue in worship, and then we're going to go about our day. But as I pray, I'm just going to ask, as we step into the presence of God, that we would be captivated in awe of Him. So, dear Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for this opportunity just to lift Your name high. I pray today, no matter what, that You would be glorified. I pray that if anything good came from this, that it would only point to You, and that everything that points to us would be removed, Jesus, and instead we would show Your light, show Your presence, show the gift that You are for us in these dark streets. Jesus, right now, many of us are in the midst of darkness, but Jesus, You are light. You have declared You are the light of the world from the beginning of time. You, when God said, "Let there be light," You were there. So Jesus, in this moment, I pray that we would just be filled with Your light, that You would wash us, overcome us with Your light today, that we would just experience Your presence like never before. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Y'all stand and sing with me. Oh, come, oh, ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Christ the to Thee be all glory. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We're so thankful that you're here. And no matter where you are, like I said, it would be crazy for us to think that many of us aren't in Elizabeth's position or in Zachariah's position. Maybe you need to talk to someone. Don't let today go by without talking to someone, all right? Like Jesus died, John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come so that we could have life and have it to the full. And in the fullness of this season, as the world is in eager anticipation for a good king to restore the kingdom, we get to point to him. So whatever we do, if you need prayer, please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Wherever we go this week, I would invite you to come hang out with us next week. Wear them Christmas PJs when we come hang out. But also, next week, we're going to be talking about God imparts to human hearts in the midst of this dark season that we may be in, or these dark streets that we're in. So one more time, I'm going to pray, because we've talked about the importance of prayer, and we're going to go have an awesome, awesome week. So dear Jesus, thank you again for this day. Thank you that you have come. Thank you that you have restored us into a rightful relationship, into being exactly who we were created to be. But Jesus, we're called to operate in faith to receive that, and that comes through confession and repentance. So I pray, as we walk through confession and repentance and we live a life marked by you, that we would be in constant awe of your presence. And when the world comes in contact with us, Jesus, that we would be so reflective of you that they can't help but to see your light shining so bright in us in the midst of the darkness. God, you do your best work sometime in the darkest seasons, and that is when you work. In the darkness of the soil is where you allow the roots to take hold and us to grow. So I pray in the midst of these dark streets that your light would shine through us like never before. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.